You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
Hey, Lucas, we have a good episode today. It is a new structure. Are you excited about new structures?
New structures are often fun. Sometimes kind of scary, though, Sam.
You're an engineer, so you love structures.
Structures.
Did you used to dream about structures when you were in school?
No, that's probably why I'm not an engineer anymore.
That's probably true. That's a good point. Well, today, we always talk about this podcast, or the tagline of the podcast is we talk about real estate, business, finance, and life. Mm. And we do, but we're going to show you that we do. So we are going to start breaking out the segments into a real estate segment, a business segment, a finance segment, and a life segment. And we're going to dig in a little bit on each of those topics. We have some, you know, kind of guidelines for each of those. And then I'm going to riddle Lucas up, and he glanced at him. He's going to go 0-for-3 on the riddles, which is going to be exciting.
They're tough today.
They are tough today. And then we're going to do true and false, would you rather, and then a motivation. So we have a jam-packed episode. This is like shoving socks in your pants. That's how packed it is.
In your pockets or in your pants?
What do you mean? Don't you usually do it? Do you do them in your pockets?
Well, I mean, what are you trying to make look bigger? Your pockets or your...
Your wiener.
Your wiener. Yeah. Then, yeah, probably in the front.
So it's how packed it's going to be. It's going to be bulging.
Yeah.
Tyler, I'm glad aren't you glad I said that, Tyler? Sorry, Mom. All right, so we got a great episode for us today. So let's talk about real estate. That's why most people probably listen. And honestly, Lucas, I struggle with how much to talk about real estate versus, like, you know, me and you and getting into different things. So I like that we're kind of making real estate a little more of the forefront, because that is most of the reason why people follow us, because we do own almost 50 million in real estate. So
yeah, so that's one thing we know about that we are comfortable talking about.
Yes, and, compared to some things, for sure. So Grant Cardone, you know that guy?
Yeah.
Uncle G. I like Grant. This isn't like a specifically just a Grant segment, but we're going to talk about something he said. I've gone on like a little bit of a cycle with Grant. Like when he came out 10X and all that stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, this dude's amazing. And then getting into social media and like bumping around with some people that know him a little bit, it's like, I don't like Grant as much as I used to. But then knowing him and thinking a little bit deeper into it, like he's done some pretty cool stuff with social media. Just because I disagree with kind of some of his tactics doesn't mean. So anyways, I kind of go up and down on Grant. My relationship with him is hot and cold. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of similarities, honestly, probably with his business in our businesses. So he's got the social media presence, which you have, which we have, and then he's got the real estate that pairs well with that. He owns what, like $4 billion in real estate?
I don't think he owns assets under management, but yeah.
Yeah, like he, you know, syndicates and
yes,
and all that.
He doesn't
stuff,
own 100% of $4 billion,
sure.
But correct, that's still
owns a portion of.
It's an incredible number.
Yeah, for sure. And then he's got a sales company which he sells, you know, all types of different education products.
It's over $100 million a year company, so it's quite the company.
Yeah,
in
quite
itself.
The company too. So definitely some similarities with some similar pillars that we have here. A similar thing with Grant, right? Probably not going to like everything he says, but that's what makes him so unique and polarizing.
Polarizing.
So just eat the fruit and spit out the seeds is what I like to say. Because
I've never heard you say that before.
To block. I'm just coming up with saying.
That's a good, I mean, it's a saying, but I've never heard you say it before.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to block him out completely because he don't like one thing you said, I think is a mistake.
Oh, agreed.
Because I think he has some great points on things too, and definitely some hot takes, and we're going to get into one of those today.
Yeah, for sure. To round that out before we get into his hot take. Yeah, that's what he needs. And I've talked to Ryan, who I know, Ryan Pignier, pretty well, and he knows Grant a little bit, and he's like, yeah, Grant says like you have to not lie, but you have to be like super, like, you know, opinionized, and you have to get half the people to hate you, half the people to like you, to get to a certain level of fame or a level of like celebrity. And that's what a lot of people do, and I don't like that. I don't want half the world to hate me, so that's why I probably will never get to certain points, but that's okay.
Well, that's if you believe that's true. That's what they believed, and that's how they kind of structured their growth as well. I don't want to do that either. I don't think that's the right way to do it. So what was I going to say? He's got some similarities. He's probably going to hate this. When he listens to our podcast, he's probably going to hate this. He's got some similarities to Dave Ramsey, because – I feel like, you know, he has these super hard stances, but, you know, everything that he says, you know, does he truly believe or even act out in his own personal life, similar to what Dave is. Dave has to say certain things at this point in his life. And I feel like Grant's kind of the same way at this point.
They almost put themselves into a corner a little bit, as way to look at it. And then talking about polarity and people saying things that people disagree with, let's just recap it real quick, and then we're going to get into Grant's talking about mortgages, I promise. But maybe this can be remade into another short that does well. But something that we said that caused a lot of virality recently, Luke, and a lot of hate from people.
Two good words.
Was talking of, that's the Celsius talking about.
Both starts with V's.
Yeah, vagina.
Alliteration.
Okay. So what we talked about recently was on a podcast, we talked about being parents and being dads and, you know, raising kiddos. And we both said that I don't think spanking kids is the best way to discipline them. Yes, kids need discipline. Yes, they need talking to. But I don't think that physically imposing your will and scaring a child, that I've seen videos, give a child $10,000 cash or three Oreos, they're going to take the Oreos, and you're spanking.
It's a solid choice.
And you're spanking that kid.
With milk?
With milk, yes. Yeah, you're spanking that kid, and that is what that's what we said. And then you should have seen that I showed it to you, but people were like, that's why the nation's full of pussies and you're such a libtard and all of these, like, I got like more hate on that than anything I've ever said. And I was saying, I don't want to strike a child with my fist or my hand. And I was like, you're defending like smacking kids. And that's, we got a lot of hate.
And it all comes back to like fear-based leading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a leadership style that I believe in at all, whether it's at home or here in the business. Like, if you have your family or your colleagues making decisions because they're afraid of something bad that's going to happen to them, that's not a good way to go about your life. And the people that are saying those awful things to you, that's probably how they're going through their life. Like, they're afraid to make certain decisions and take certain risks because of the consequences.
I think instead of
seeing the big picture and what the possibility is.
It's lazy, because it's a lot easier to smack a kid and let them go cry in the corner and realize that, you know, or make them think that's what they did was wrong, or sit down, have a conversation, explain the situation, take away a toy, give a reward. Like, those are the type of things that you can do. You can discipline and quote unquote threaten, if that's your style, without physically striking a child. And a lot of people are like, it's illegal. Like, if you spank your kid in Europe, not that we have to be like Europe, like, that's illegal. So anyways, it was just interesting talking about virality. It came up in the back of this little pea-sized brain of mine that just was interesting that we said, do other things besides physically strike a child that's a third of your weight that can't do long division. Think of it, be an adult, be a grown-up, be mature. Like, your immediate, like, your just immaturity is to just strike out of fear or strike out of frustration. That's just immature, in my opinion.
Immature, lazy, and it's just poor leadership.
Yeah.
Like, those type of people in the real world, trying to, if they have some sort of leadership position, imagine their leadership style and how their team is going to relate to them. Not saying they're going to hit their team, maybe.
But if Tyler screws up, I'm just not going to smack him. That's not how the real world works.
Or just be like, hey, you do that again, you're freaking out of here. Like, that's the type of leadership that this is building, and it's the wrong way to lead. We need to lead and reward and motivate based off things we're doing right. And then we do something wrong, which is celebrated in our community. Let's make some fucking mistakes so we can learn from it and then figure out how to course correct so we learn from those mistakes and don't make them again.
Yes, and a lot of these and the thing about it is, a lot of these people that have those strong opinions, and they're always saying, you know, I got smacked, you know, growing up, and I turned out fine. I'm like, well, did you?
That's your message. What's fine?
And you're messaging somebody you don't know on social media, calling them a pussy. So
yeah.
I don't know if you're actually fine.
Yeah. So this is our real estate section.
Yeah, that's our real estate section. And then one more hard left turn. Then we're doing, I thought of this, Lucas. So you said milk. I have two milk stories for you. You ready for you?
What type of milk?
Like,
got
just
that Fair Life?
2%
lactose
milk.
Free?
Yeah, that's good. Just milk in general.
Prairie Farms.
So we were talking about, like, everybody in the office is sick right now. And I made a joke that that Jim Harbaugh says when he's sick, he just does push-ups and eats more apples and he's fine, and which is funny. But Jim Harbaugh also drinks milk with a steak.
Mm, yeah, that doesn't sound good.
No, right?
What do you think about that? Tyler's not a huge steak guy. He's starting to introduce it into his diet, but does that sound good to you, Tyler? No, man.
And then the other milk story was last night. So, you know, my father-in-law, Bob. So we went to his
Roberto.
House for his birthday yesterday, the big 6'9". 69.
Great number.
I told
that. It's his birthday. I didn't know he was a December birthday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, December 14th.
Man,
yep.
We got a squad of December
So
birthdays.
I go, you know, I said 69. I go, that's a fun number. And Anita goes, For who? Oh, so she knew I was talking 69, but that's not the story. So
that's the point of it, Anita. It's fun for both.
Yeah, it's fun for both. It is a mutually beneficial experience. Yeah. Sorry, Mom. And the other part about that is, so Bob was drinking beer last night in a glass, right? And we had this really good chocolate cake for dessert. And he drank his beer and was finished, and there's maybe like a little bit the bottom foam or something. He just poured milk on top of it and to have milk with his cake.
Yeah, I think this is not exactly what we were saying, but I think beer with cake is better than milk with steak.
Ooh.
Yes.
Banger.
Jake.
Who?
I just was rhyming.
Oh, but you got to make sense.
Oh, okay. But anyways,
that's just name all words that rhyme. We could do that.
Yeah. But that was, isn't that funny though? The just pouring the milk on top of the beer.
Oh, I love it.
Just not giving a fuck.
Yeah. Old school.
All right. Okay.
Physical punishment.
And now let's talk about real estate. So Grant Cardone recently said, and he said this a few times, so he's done a recent video on it that we're referencing, but he said this multiple times. You know, some of the quotes from some of his content has been, the savior of America will not be lower prices. It will be longer mortgages. In your lifetime, you will see mortgages go from 30 to 40 to 50 to maybe even 60 years. If you live long enough, you could see a 100-year mortgage. So he's predicting that America will be a renter nation. You'll rent your cars, you'll rent where you live, and you'll even rent your clothes. So let's unpack that a little bit, and then we'll get into some more thoughts.
Yeah, even just why he thinks that, too. And I think there's a lot of reasons. I think one of the reasons goes back to what I was talking about, kind of put himself in a corner a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. he's been on the, you know, don't buy your where you live, rent, always rent, lease your car. He's been on that train for a long freaking mm-hmm. time, so I think that's part of it. But I also see kind of where he's going with this as more and more corporations, investment funds get involved with residential real estate. It's and renting out houses. I think that's kind of where he's going to this, and he's kind of what he's saying to me is eventually, you know. If we don't do something about it, which we can get to that in a second, all these hedge funds and larger corporations are going to just gobble up all the property, and then they're just going to rent them out to you. You're not going to be able to go compete against them. And if you do, you're going to have to pay an astronomical fee to be able to be a homeowner in the future. That's what he's saying, I think.
I think so, too. And I'm not trying to do the thing where you just take quotes and you don't have any context to it. But what I've seen and what I just stated, counterintuitive is the right word? No, is that the right word? They're counterintuitive. They're not the same thing. Like, if there's 100-year mortgages, people will be able to afford their houses, so we won't be a renter nation. The way we would be a renter nation is if mortgages didn't change and hedge funds came in and bought everything with cash. But if there's 100-year mortgages, that will be very affordable for people to be able to own that house. So in my opinion, it's contradictory. 100-year mortgages and a renter nation. I don't think they can be mutually exclusive. I think they have to be separate. If I said that right, does that make sense?
No, that makes sense.
So, but I'm not trying to pick and choose. Maybe there's more nuance to it, but I know he thinks 100-year mortgages, and I know he thinks we're going to be a renter nation. So, in my opinion, those two things can't be the same. They can't both happen.
Yeah, and you and I watched a webinar just on. So, as we talk about all these things, to me, it's about affordability mm-hmm. is the big thing. And it comes down to obviously when he's talking about extending mortgages, talks about that monthly payment more mm-hmm. than anything. And, you know, I think there's, rental affordability and home ownership affordability kind of go in waves. And there's some point in times where it's more affordable to rent. And there's some points in times that's more affordable to purchase a house. And there's lots of different costs that go into that. Obviously, rent is pretty standard. Like expense wise, it's your rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your landlord takes care of the maintenance, the insurance, property tax, all that. But when you own a house, you know, you got your mortgage, you got your insurance, you got your real estate tax, you got your maintenance, you got your cap. So there's a lot more costs that go into that. But what we've seen and what we have seen over history is that equity that get built up too. And I think that's so important, not only from the debt pay down of principal of your mortgage payment is going to pay down that debt every month, but also the appreciation, which we've seen, you know, 3 to 5% over the past 75 years on mm-hmm. average. Like it's not necessarily a certainty, but it's pretty safe bet that that's going to happen over the course of your ownership. So I think we need to start putting that into the formula on affordability. And when you exit that house, either with a sale or a refinance or whatever that looks like, you're able to utilize that equity and, you know, put it as a down payment or pay off credit card debt. So I think that part doesn't get included into the formula as much as it should. And it also goes back to real estate's went up, what was it, like 40% over the last 3 years, right? It's like, and then it was like, have wages went up 40%?
I just did a video on that exact thing.
Yeah, and it's just not comparing apples to apples when you look at affordability on a monthly payment. So if real estate goes up 40%, your wages have to go up only 10% to be able to cover that extra mortgage, monthly mortgage payment.
And 40% is a lot, and that's, we've had that in some areas recently, but most of the time it's not near that much. No. Most of the time wages do go up with mortgages for the most part, because to put a little bit of math into what you just talked about, Lucas, if it's a $1,000 a month payment and it goes up $400 a month, that's a 40% increase. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. But if you're making $4,000 a month, which or $4,000 a month, which is probably what you have to make, yep, to afford that, a $400 increase is 10%. Yep. So that's the pull of math behind it, because I just did a video on that. And then you hit the huge point, the biggest hole in Grant's argument about home ownership, and he's very smart, right? So he purposely leaves this part out. I've seen a ton of videos on it. We've reacted to a few of them, Lucas. It's, you know, you got to pay property taxes and you're paying more interest rates and you're making the bank rich and you're making the government rich when you're owning, but when you're renting, you're not. Well, when you're renting, you're not getting that increase in value. Like, real estate does go up, mm-hmm, in value. I bought my house in 2015. I built it for $390,000. And of course, I put a little bit of money into a pool in the backyard. But 5 years later, 5.5 years later, I sold it for $670,000. Like, yeah, if I was renting, I would not have gotten that. And I know, yeah, that was a big jump, and it was in Wentzville, a hot market, and I put a pool in, and it was right before interest rates went up and, you know, prices kind of dipped a little bit. But you don't get any of those waves. You don't get, real estate does double in value every 15 years. Mm-hmm. So you don't get that if you're renting. So that's a huge part of it. He doesn't put in there.
So it's all about getting in the game to me, and mm-hmm, getting in the game early. And I think the average first-time home buyer, what was that, like 33 years, mm-hmm, old or something like that? So get in the game, and then you have those opportunities that you were talking about. You can sit on your equity and use that for other different things, or you can sell it and trade up to a nice bigger house. You can
not pay any taxes on if you, exactly, live for 2 years.
You can do that forever. But if you're, to me, if you're renting, you're on the sidelines. You never get in the game. Mm-hmm. So just get in the game, ride it out, and yeah, it's going to pay off big time in the long term. Compound interest,
ooh,
my bro.
Compound.
Albert Einstein, eighth wonder of the world.
Confounded the compounded.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that the question on here, we'll round this section out, is, you know, should owning a house be a priority? I say yes, because you are owning a house. That's going to make you more bankable. You're going to be building your credit. You are going to be building that equity and having that equity in that house, because it's going to happen. You'll make the monthly payments. The property will go up in value in aggregate. There may be dips here and there, but overall it will go up. That equity just makes you so much more dangerous as an investor. You can do a home equity line of credit. You can refinance a pulse amount. You can trade up. Like we said, if you're buried, you can make $500,000 on the sale of your personal house and pay zero taxes on it. So there's so many benefits to owning real estate. I think ideally should make it a priority to own a house. Like my boy T. Jork just did. When he's, yeah, we talked about this yesterday when I talked about with the pastors of my church, and I was like, Tyler's in there. I was like, yeah, when we were 21, I was getting Lucas out of bar fights, and Tyler's engaged and has a house that he owns.
Yeah.
He's the head of the game.
Head of the game. I love that. Out of the last 75 years, year over year, how many times do you think real estate has gone down in value? How many years?
75 years, 10?
It's like five.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And the last seven recessions, real estate has, during recessions, real estate has stayed the same or gone up.
And that's what happened. That's what's going to happen this recession.
Every one but, yep, two. And it was 08, obviously, and then COVID, and that was a slight dip. Mm-hmm. And then it was, so every other recession, real estate, because that's what it does. It goes, mm-hmm, up in value. The cost to replace it is never going to be less. Therefore, the price is going to go up.
Yeah, and I do agree with Grant. Prices aren't necessarily gonna come down.
No, they're not.
So yeah, the different mortgages, like whatever, that I think those are cool options,
because they don't go down. You just said it. They don't go down. Yeah. They never have. That's just not what real estate does.
Right. So I, you know, trying to fix that is not that possible in my eyes. So I just think, you know, I love the just driving wages up and just getting people more money in their pocket, become more product productive and efficient as a country, and just get more money in people's pockets so they can afford the new benchmark of where houses are today.
And I could see a 100-year mortgage, I think, is the headline. I could see 40-year mortgages.
Oh, yeah, I could see 40 in the next couple of years, probably.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Like, so there's
always, they have some on big multifamilies. They have a 35.
There is like always a mortgage on a property. I could see us moving to that. There is always a mortgage on a property. Because going from 25 to 30 years makes a big difference. Yeah. Imagine going from 25 to 40 years or 30
for sure.
to 40.
Cool. Yeah. So what do you think about, you know, just all like these bigger hedge fund type companies that are coming in and buying single family houses and using them for an investment purpose? We do the same thing. We are very different from them. But what do you think about that? Do you think that's going to continue, and sooner or later all these large corporations are going to own all the residential real estate in the country?
Yeah, so this let's kick off the business segment. We'll talk about the Corporate Transparency Act, but this is kind of a business. Now, this is the kind of the mix of business and real estate, so this is a perfect segue to the business segment. So I think eventually things are going to happen. I don't know if you saw one of my videos, because you watch every single one, but they did just a bill did just enter the House and the Senate. You saw that? I'm sure you did.
I didn't see that video, but I knew it did.
The bill just entered the House and the Senate to reduce, if you own over, I think it's over $50 million worth of real estate or over a certain amount of houses, you have to sell them or you have to pay a huge penalty. So they're telling like all these hedge funds that if this passes, in the next 10 years, they have to sell all their real estate or they have to pay huge fines. It wouldn't make it profitable to own that real estate anymore. So they're trying to stop this. So I don't think that bill is going to pass in its current form. I think it's going to lose a lot of its teeth because of all the lobbyists and all these huge companies owning real estate that basically control the people in government. So, but I do see something like almost like a monopoly type thing happening with, you know, that has happened back to in the day with Rockefeller and Carnegie. The government came in and said, you're monopolizing this industry too much. So I think that will happen in real estate. So I do think that they will continue to affect the market a little bit, but also they own like 500,000 houses and there's 150 million houses. So they can't control the market like people think they can. So that's, get your opinion on it. But my general thoughts are it's not having an effect on housing prices like people think yet. It could if they kept going. And I think it will get reduced a little bit to a certain degree. So I don't think it's going to be completely like life altering and industry changing. I think there'll be some pullback. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely heard about the bill. I think it was something along the lines of having to sell everything or down to a certain level over the next 10 years or something like that. But makes, you know, they're thinking about it for sure. They understand that if we keep heading this direction, you know, the speed of which this happens, you know, it could get to a point where a owner occupant is getting pushed out of the market for a certain reason, right? And like you said, I don't think that's happening too much right now. I mean, a little bit here and there. Over the past couple of years, yes, but at this exact moment, like, it's not happening as much. Like, when the real estate boom, everybody wanted to get in, of course. So right now, it's a little different, and I think hedge funds are selling more than they are buying. So that's their strategy, too. They're not trying to own them forever. They're going to buy them for a little bit, try to ride it up, get a little bit of cash flow along the way, and then dump them. It sucks. I agree with the investment strategy. It's just, you know, I just love the way we do it compared to the way they do it. Like, we, you know, own the asset, control it, fix it up, make it beautiful, provide an awesome, safe home for a family that's not ready to buy a house yet. And then at some point when it's ready to sell, you know, then we sell it to either someone that's going to fix it up, or we fix it up ourselves and sell it to a family that can move in. So I just feel like we do things a lot different than those big corporations, even though some of the similar, we have very similar investment strategies.
Well, a majority of what we do is we take houses and fix them up and sell them to families. Like, we add to the supply. That's 80% of what we do anyway.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. So I think this is a little bit of government intervention in a good way, helping like kind of stop greedy businesses to a certain degree, because that's like they're just going to push until they get slapped on the PP and say no. A lot of PP comments today.
It'll be a painful slap.
Yes, that would hurt. So talking about too much government control is, I think, kind of what we're getting into with this Corporate Transparency Act. So I'm not an expert on it. So in general, what it's saying is, and a lot of you know, people on social media are running with this to try to scare you. You're going to have to pay $500 a day to own an LLC going forward and all this stuff. That's obviously the extreme examples that most people like to push. But in general, this Corporate Transparency Act feels like a little bit of a reach to me. They are wanting a lot more information from owners and beneficiaries of LLCs. And if you do not give them certain things like your driver's license or, you know, photo government ID, birth date, a little more information than you get now to start an LLC, that they technically can fine you. So I don't know what your thoughts on that in general are.
Yeah, I don't think it's much different than kind of what we're doing now. A couple different hoops to jump through. I don't care too much, and I don't think it's a huge deal. Like we were talking about earlier, like we have a pretty good relationship with our CPA firm, and they haven't even mentioned it to us. Mm-hmm. So if it's a big deal, Marcus, please talk to us.
Yes.
But I think the key is to have good people in your corner that are looking out for you for stuff like this, because, you know, this type of stuff's just not on our radar. We're mm-hmm. thinking about building a business, so we need people that are on our team that are looking out for us, and we do have good people, and they haven't really haven't really caused too much of a ruckus over this yet. So I think a couple hoops to jump through, a few little fees, and we'll be just fine.
Yep. I don't think it's near as bad as people think. So cool. All right. So business, real estate. Phlegmy throat. Finance, Lucas.
Finance.
Interest rates. So I like we're kind of keeping a more real estate theme for this. So to a little bit of my surprise, but not most people's, the Fed, I thought they were done raising interest rates, but they have hinted at interest rate decreases, because two meetings ago they said they hadn't even talked about interest rate decreases and the market was already talking about it. But what it's almost more important, and listen to people that know more about this than I do, they said what the Fed does is important, but equally important is Jerome Powell's speech after, where he like hints at what they're thinking. And he usually has hinted at not thinking about decreases, but he did talk about some of the decreases potentially going to happen in interest rates in 2024, and talking a little bit about, I want your insight, and you just saw some charts on the presentation you talked about earlier with where the actual interest rate is and lagging indicators versus leading indicators. So the Fed is talking, and they're pretty much saying they're done raising interest rates unless something crazy happens, and there will be some decreases in the future of the Fed's funds rate, which honestly has nothing to do with the 30-year mortgage.
Yeah, we'll talk Fed's fund rate first, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'll get into the 30-year mortgage. But Fed's funds rate is at, 5.5, give or take, right now. Wall Street Journal Prime is at 8.5. So that affects the way, you know, a lot of people do business, because they, as Sam likes to talk about, you borrow money, you deploy that money and get some sort of return on top of the money that you borrowed. And that's exactly what we do as well.
Leverage.
With it being, I think it's at, you know, that 5.5 or whatever it is right now, I think that's like 20 plus year high. So it's on the high side of what it's been for a long, long time. And it's the speed that they've increased it has been quite a challenge for businesses to navigate. And it put a halt in a lot of different types of markets and sectors in our country. Going back to 2021 and just freaking the real estate market was on fire. Everything was just on fire. It was crazy. And to not be able to see this freaking coming is still mind-blowing to me. Like, raise it a freaking quarter in 2021 then. Just to be like, hell, okay, we see what's going on here. But they waited a whole nother 9 months.
I think that's the one mistake they made, was to wait too long. Other than that, I think they've been spot on. There hasn't been much issues with what Powell's done. We've had a decently soft landing, but they waited too long as well.
Well, we'll get to the soft landing here in a minute, but I'm talking about, just ramping up. Like, it's one of the mistakes they made, but that's a big freaking mistake. Mm-hmm. That's so to spread going from zero, what it was dropped down to at COVID, to 5.5, instead of doing it in a, 12-month time frame, they could have done it in 18 or 24 months, just nice and gradual. Probably wouldn't even have to be at where we're at now, too. Mm-hmm. We probably could have landed a lot lower, like in the 4 or something. But anyway, so they're looking at this soft landing. They're trying to figure out what a soft landing looks like, whatever the hell that means to them. In order to do that, as we got to look at the trends of what's happening with inflation and job reports and all that type of stuff. So if they want a soft landing, they realize that they cannot stay this high or keep raising because we're going down and we're going down fast. So in order to kind of bottom out and get that soft landing, whatever that looks like, probably some sort of recession still, mm-hmm. Is they're going to have to start turning back the dial a little bit in my eyes. And to me, that starts probably this summer, early summer sometime.
With the interest rate decrease in early summer, yeah.
Yep. With a total in my eyes, maybe like 0.75 to 1.25, somewhere in that range for the total of 2024.
So, yeah. So, two or three of them at, you know, a quarter percent.
Possibly half or, yeah, I think three at, you know, like a freaking like March, July, September, whatever, at a quarter would be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not enough. Who knows what it's going to look like as we keep seeing these trends with inflation and stuff.
Yeah, who knows? Because inflation is not where they want it to be, but much better than where it was. And mm-hmm. you're not going to go from 9% to freaking, you know, 2% very quickly. So
right. they want to get it down. It's a big ship. Mm-hmm. It's a big damn ship. And it's mm-hmm. hard to get going either direction.
Yeah. Got to turn that thing. So, yeah, nobody knows for sure if interest rates do drop, though, because that's a prediction. What do you think that means for the market, Lucas?
Which market?
The housing market.
Housing market. Do you want to talk 30-year fix a little bit here?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Explain the difference in 30-year, because most people still think, and that's I'd used to too, most people still think that when Jerome Powell says interest rates are going up or down, that means the 30-year mortgage is going up or down. They think that his rate increase directly affects the mortgage.
It doesn't directly. Granted, it does follow it,
but it doesn't directly affect it.
But it doesn't directly. Like if they do drop interest rates on the Fed side, it's going to affect the 30-year mortgage, right? But we look at the 10-year treasury more and how that's tracking, and the banks and financial lending institutions are trying to get a margin on that 10-year treasury, and there's a spread, right? And that has been significantly dropping as well, which is nice, and that's why we've seen mortgage rates come down even though the Fed funds rate has not come down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that will continue. I think the Fed fund rate coming down is only gonna help that. So I could see, you know, I think CJ just rehabbed a house for a buyer. When they started the process, they were 7.25, and they wanted to lock in, and they had to pay this fee to lock in. And right now, they're getting ready to close in 2 weeks. They're like, we don't want to freaking lock. We don't want to pay that fee. We'd rather be at 6.75
mm-hmm.
right now. So I think we'll see more and more of that. I think we'll be in at the low to mid sixes for the most of the year. Aggressively, maybe high fives by the end of the year. What do you think?
Well, in order to like loosen up the supply, you got to get interest rates lower. People,
yeah.
there's a crazy stat. I'm gonna fumble it up a little bit, but in general, I think like 60% of the country has mortgages at 4% or lower. So
yeah.
Somebody with a 3.85 mortgage is, unless they have to, they're not going to roll into another house mm-hmm. at 7.25 or 7.5, whatever it has been. So I think somebody would do a 3.75 to a 5.2, maybe,
yeah.
or something like that, something a little bit more reasonable. So I think that prices will go up, though, if that happens to a certain degree. But it'll be not as exact what they want. That, you know, that 3.85 versus that 7.5, that number difference, that housely monthly payment difference in interest will be offset because the price will be higher, in my opinion, but it still probably will be, the optics of it will be better.
Yeah, I think prices will go up this year or this coming year as well, because it's going to mirror inflation so closely.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to have zero inflation. So we're going to have some price appreciation if I had to guess for this year, but it's not going to be crazy. It's going to be mm-hmm. healthy. And I think that lower interest rates will unlock people that are stuck in like a four, not four, but need to move, but like, I'm not doing a seven. Like, that makes no sense. I think it'll unlock that and kind of create some healthier balance within the market, where it's not all inventory driven, because there's actually transactions going on. There's buying, there's selling, there's everything.
Extreme, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be really good for buyers, even though it'll free up a little bit of inventory, but it'll also increase a little bit of competition too. So kind of got to pick your poison with this market. You could either have high interest rates and limited competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I would like to buy. The buying process, to me, if I'm going to look for a house and I'm having to fight against 20 people, that's miserable.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather pay a little higher interest rate now and not have to fight 20 people off.
Marry the house, date the rate.
Marry the house, date the rate. What's that? Is that Barry Habib? Is that his name? I think. Is that? But anyway,
Barry Habib.
Yeah, I think that might be his name. Probably should look into that. Okay. But anyway, yes, so. Where was I going with that?
You'd rather pay more because you can always refinance the future.
Yes, yeah, and I think, you know, it's there's so much equity. Houses that are at an all-time high, they're going to continue that more than likely. What do you do with that equity is important, because we talked about that being a big factor of affordability is being able to access that equity, and you do that on a sale and get it tax-free. What do you do with that extra equity? You can pay off student loans. You could pay off credit card debt. You could pay off car loans. And even if you go from a 4 to a 7, if you pay off some other type of debt or maybe put a little larger down payment on the deal, your overall total monthly debt payment could be much lower than what you're than just 4 to 7.
Like, yeah, think beyond it.
Think beyond it a little bit. Get creative with that equity that you've built up and earned.
Yeah, you said that, Lucas. You said a house at all time high and will be. I wonder. You said the stat of the last 75 years, house prices have gone down 5, you know, year over year. So in general, most of the time we're sitting at an all-time high in house prices. It is what it is. Milk doesn't get cheaper either, whatever it is. Yeah. Car prices, buying
milk's
shoes.
Milk's at an all-time high.
Buying shoes, everything's always at an all-time high. Because
fuel
is
the weird one. But
because fuel has that inelastic inelastic relationship. But everything else just is elastic. It goes up. Nothing's cheaper because of inflation.
Yeah.
And inflation's supposed to be that too.
You know what is? It's just mind-blowing to me. Sorry, little side note here. Flat screen TVs.
Yeah, those have.
My goodness.
I think that's when you insert technology into the situation, you can get more efficient with the cost. But yeah,
we looked at us. We're getting some big TVs around the office here. 65-inch TV. Guess what it is these days?
$800.
$398.
Yeah,
for a smart TV.
When we were bookies in college. And we used our profits. I think we spent like $900 on a 55-inch TV. Remember that?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like probably super good.
Yeah, it was so thick. It was a Sanyo?
Maybe.
It was like this freaking.
It was
thick.
Like a cheaper brand too.
There's a law for what we just talked about there.
Murphy's Law.
Moore's Law. I just looked it up to make sure I had it right, but what is it? But in general. The observation that the number of transistors in an integrated circuit doubles about every 2 years. And then I think it talks about like the size of what they can put that in shrinks. And therefore, that's what's driving the cost down as well. Is they can just crazy what they can fit into
how much technology, I think. Yeah. Creates efficiencies. I like it. All right. So,
speaking
of extremes, Lucas.
Dude.
Your boy.
It's not my boy.
It's a mess.
He is a mess, bro. Well, set the stage a little bit, then we'll get into it.
So Draymond Green. So any basketball fans on here probably know him, or maybe not basketball fans at this point. So he's always kind of lived on the edge. That's kind of his kind of secret sauce to his success. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. He's very integral part of one of the biggest basketball dynasties in the last 20, 30 years for the Golden State Warriors. He's been a very integral part on it. He's probably the second most important person on the team besides Steph. However, I don't know if it's because the Warriors are kind of teetering, their dynasty's over. I've heard that Bob Myers used to like talk him off the ledge all the time. He's gone. Whatever it is, Draymond is out of control.
Love Bob Myers.
Out of control. Bob Myers is going to get signed by like some like NFL team or something here soon, get paid $25 million a year. But anyway, so he has in the past, 15 games, he's been ejected 3 times.
Yeah.
So every third game he gets ejected, or every fifth game he gets ejected for punching, kicking, stomping on somebody.
Yeah, and I saw the most recent one.
So this is a life segment, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, life. So I saw the most recent one with the Suns game, Nurkic? Big guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're all pretty big in the NBA.
But, big gents, yep.
But, yeah, he just kind of, like, turned around and wailed on him. And I saw him on the bench trying to, like, defend himself.
It was an accident.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? He's, like, trying to recreate it. He's like, I was just doing this. I'm like, bro, stop it. Like, this is, like, you can't get away with that anymore. Like, if it was your first time ever, maybe we'd be like, okay, I can see that. But this keeps happening again and again and again. And to me, Coach Kerr is a fantastic coach, right? So he's always done a pretty good job, a great job of standing up for his players. But he said it the other day. He's like at some point in time, he's like you have this guy. He's like, what do you say? He punched Jordan Poole in the face in practice last year.
He jumped. He was like a jump punch.
Yeah,
he was like
the sucker punch.
Yep.
He put Rudy Gobert in a headlock on the court, and then he pretty much punched Nurkic recently. He's like, and Steve Kerr's like, the problem is the person.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's nothing else. He's like, it's Draymond. Steve Kerr's finally starting to realize that and be more vocal about it. So I think coming from him, hopefully, gosh, it's gonna set him on the right path, because is it an indefinite suspension at the moment?
Yep.
Yeah, good. He needs to freaking chill out and relax and think about how he wants to perform this next part of his career, because he doesn't have a lot of time left.
No.
So he needs to chill.
Yeah, he needs to chill a lot, because I saw a highlight reel of all of the things he's done. He's kicked people in the nuts intentionally several times.
Yeah.
He stomped on Zabonis last year in the playoffs, literally stomped on his chest. And, like, the Gobert thing, he claims he's defending, like, are you that immature? He's defending Thompson. And, like, Gobert was just, like, almost being like a
mediator,
and you could get in front of him and like try to stop him from touching Thompson, but he choked him out from behind for like 30 seconds. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think he's overstepped it a little bit, and I get he's an emotional guy, and that's been his secret sauce. He's always kind of been that way, and he's always been defended by his teammates. But this one's a little bit different, and I heard an interesting take from. Not my favorite person, but he's fine, Stephen A. He was like, he made a good point here. He was like, Steph Curry is like the best example of like incredible leader, like great, great dude. And we hold them to a high standard, but we're not LeBron standard. He's like, this was one of LeBron teammates, we'd be like, LeBron, go fix this. But nobody's saying, Steph, go fix this.
Yeah, I love Steph.
It's interesting though, right? Because Steph is a great leader too, I feel like.
I wouldn't put him in the great leader category. Personally, I love Steph. He leads great by example, mm-hmm. but he's not like super vocal or anything.
I think Draymond listened to him.
Yeah, I do too. So to say that Steph needs to say something, absolutely.
That's what the point is.
No,
yeah, Steph
no
needs
doubt.
To say something now because if this was one of LeBron's teammates, they'd be like, we'd be like, LeBron, go fix this. But LeBron, everybody has his thoughts about him, but everybody says he's an incredible leader.
Yeah, well, I think they will talk for sure. They'll have some type of talk.
An interesting insight on this I just heard last night. So who do I listen to all the time?
Colin.
Colin Cowherd, and he has a podcast company called The Volume. And he has Draymond Green is on his mm-hmm. he's an employee of Cowherd for his podcast, that you know, Draymond's podcast that's under Colin Cowherd's podcast network. So he's an employee for Colin, and I think it's the best podcast for The Volume. Like mm-hmm. it's the top performing one, because Draymond is very articulate when he talks. He's intelligent.
He has hot takes.
Just because he's doing these things doesn't mean it makes him look unintelligent, but he's not. He's extremely intelligent podcast. And thoughtful person. Yeah.
Get like live reaction, which I love.
And did you know that was under Cowherd's thing or not?
I didn't.
Okay,
no,
so
I
it's
didn't.
Under Cowherd's thing. So they know each other a little bit, and the podcast hasn't been going on because they've been negotiating the next contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night, two nights ago, Colin's like the people that like his partners in that company were at Draymond's house when the commissioner called to tell him he's suspended indefinitely. So mm-hmm. he had like an insight to like Draymond. His people are there while Draymond's being told mm-hmm. that he's indefinitely suspended.
So are they not going to like renew the contract?
No, it was renewed right before that, which is good. I mean, part of it is the thought a little bit, like that's like cathartic for Draymond to talk and like have the, but he hasn't been doing that because they've been in a negotiation. So anyways, a little inside story. And apparently he was very remorseful at the time. And he's for the first time was saying like, maybe I do need to fix myself.
Good.
So hopefully
I could see that happening now. And I'm, you know, I like Draymond.
He's not a bad guy,
And as a competitor, it's amazing. He just takes it a little too far sometimes.
Yeah. And he's not obviously a bad guy. So that's why, he's hopefully this will help.
Yeah.
I mean, people do like people can change and have like at least redirected a little bit.
For sure.
Cool. All right.
Got your boy Jack coming back here some point soon. So that'd be interesting to talk about.
Get Jack back here soon. I have more confidence in Draymond turnaround than Ja, but that's just me.
No, that'd be a great segment.
I would love for Ja to turn around.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll talk about that a little bit. So I think the life segment's going to be about like parenting and sports.
Those are two really good things.
That's kind of our life. That is our whole
where
life.
Our
is
passions are.
Real estate, business, finance, parenting, and sports.
Deal.
That's our life.
Love
all right.
That.
Okay. So Riddle, this is might be my favorite segment of the whole episode because Lucas is going to get riddled.
I hope something clicks here.
All right. So this is where I try to stump Lucas with riddles, and I'm going to stump him. He usually So I for the, you know, we don't really, we're trying to get new listeners, so please share this with your friends if you were laughed or entertained at all. But if you listened, you probably listened before, you know Lucas gets one right, he gets one wrong, and one he kind of gets right. So he gets 50% on a three answer topic. So he's not going to, he's going to go 0-3. So Lucas, tough, what bird do you associate with lifting weight?
I don't know this one. I feel like I'm going to kick myself when I hear the answer.
You
too.
Won't. It's tough.
So I was going to like guess a bird, like the bald eagle or something, looking jacked as the, you know, symbol of America. But I'm just going to say no bird. I don't associate
a bird you associate with lifting weight is a crane. Get it? It's a bird and a crane. It's a tricky one.
Very true.
These are all true. But they're just tricky.
Yeah, I was thinking like, is there a bird named after a barbell or a dumbbell or like?
He's very like. Yeah. If he tried to riddle me, my answers would be so like we used to. I think so. There's a reason why we riddle you because you're much
a crane.
More
damn, that's right.
All okay. right. So what number two? What is it that given one? You'll either, hold on, I can't even say it.
It's so hard you can't even say.
What is it that given one, you'll have either two or none? If you're given this, you'll have either two or none.
I'm given this, either two or none.
This one's tough.
If I'm given this, I'll have either two or, wow, I don't know, man.
A choice.
So how do you have either two or none then? Tell me about that.
If you have a choice, you either have, I don't get it either. You have two options, I guess, a choice. Okay. So you either, I don't get that one either. 0-2. Moving on.
I suck.
Nobody has ever walked this way. Which way is this?
Walk this way. Was that Aerosmith or something?
I think so, yeah. You sound just like him, too.
I do sound like Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the ladies tell me.
Yes. He's got... Okay. All right. Nobody has ever walked this way. Which way is it?
Which way is it?
0-3.
I don't. Up.
The Milky Way. The first one was you had your best shot. The first one.
Yeah. The one that makes sense. The other two don't make any fucking sense, Tyler.
All right.
Damn it! I think that's the first time I went 0-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad, boys. I let you down.
You let us down. You let the audience down.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. I'll do better next time.
True or false?
All right, true or false? I'm going to try to stump you this time, but you got at least a 50% chance every time. All right. An 18-inch pizza is more pizza than two 12-inch pizzas.
Yes. So it is interesting with... circles, as you know, being an engineer.
Ooh, the old circles.
Like you go out just a little bit, but the fact that it's a 360 degrees going out, the surface area goes up a lot.
What is the A equals, it's like pi r squared?
Something like that. But it expands exponentially as you go out.
So, all right, so do that math.
So then the 12. So I bet it's close. I think I've heard Sperman say true.
It is true.
Yep. Boom. Yep. Well, I'm going to make you look stupid.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. It's crazy. You got two 12-inch pizzas where you're like, oh, yeah, 24, and then a 118. So that's wild. That's a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good job.
So excited.
Number two of three is vitamin C is also known by the chemical name of ascorbic acid.
There's not a B at the beginning of that, but that's fine.
Ascorbic acid?
Yes.
How do you say that?
I have no idea. I just knew there wasn't a B at the beginning. You said absorbic.
Yeah, that's not the word.
No.
Ascorbic acid.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to say false.
It's true.
Tyler.
Vitamin C is a healthy acid.
Okay. I knew it was a healthy acid, but I didn't know what ascorbic means.
Yeah, me neither.
Makes it hard when you don't know what they mean. So is he going to do an all trues? Goodness gracious. All right, what's the next one?
All right, Transylvania. Have you seen Hotel Transylvania?
So... I like Adam Sandler, but I hate those movies.
I like them.
I think they're horrible.
I don't think they're horrible. I used to not like them, but after I watched them with Drake a couple more times, I like them a little better.
I think they're like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think give it another chance. They're not bad.
I like kids' movies too, though. That's probably really loud in the mic.
Sorry about that. Thanks. All right. So Transylvania is a historical region located in central Romania.
True.
True.
Woo!
Nice.
And he went all three true, so he tried to stump me.
I would think that would be like a like just a mythical place, but it's a real place.
I think it's a real place that they turn into like mythical.
Gotcha. Kind of thing. Well, good job. Two or three. Much better than me.
Yes, you suck.
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to go home and think about what you did? Mm-hmm. You should probably take the afternoon off because you screwed up so
bad.
I am
going to take the afternoon off.
I know. That's
date
why I said
date
that.
With my wife.
What are you guys going to do?
We're going to go back and reminisce where we bought our first house and kind of go out in that town and have some lunch and dinner.
Go Schlafly?
We might, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's going to happen after dinner, Lucas?
We're going to go relieve our babysitter before bedtime.
Okay. All right. All right. So would you rather? This
Not
is
babysitter. It's my mother who's hanging out with our kids. So shout perfect. Out to mom. Thank you.
Colleen. All right. Would you rather? This is a little bit harder than usual.
Yeah, we'll both do these, right? So you
yep.
do the first one.
I'll go first. Would you rather have a face that everyone laughs at or a name that everyone
name
laughs at?
Name for sure.
Yeah.
You can change your name.
What? Yeah.
Or it's just a name. You can go by nickname, initials,
mm-hmm.
but your face.
That would be tough.
You got to spend some money and go through some pain to change your face.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would say a name that everybody laughs at.
Yes.
You go. You get the next one.
All right. Would you rather always hit a red light for the rest of your life? Gosh, that would be so annoying. So annoying. Or always get slow internet after the sun goes down. So when it's nighttime, gosh,
I would probably rather hit red lights.
Oh, cause
I would boy. I would just try to take paths that didn't, cause you can do a lot of paths without lights.
I don't know, man.
Like, yeah,
that would be so annoying. You couldn't get anywhere. So like, not even when you're driving. If you're in the car in general, like an Uber.
So when you get up before the sun goes up, until the sun goes up, you're just
like no one would want to ride with you.
You can't do work in the morning.
Like you would have to ride by yourself. Everybody would be like, don't ride with Sam.
What if I just ride with other people?
No, it would still hit the red light. If you're in the car, it would hit the red light.
You don't know that. Which one would you want?
I don't know. I think the slow internet. This time of year, it's tough. Because it's like the winter solstice coming up, so it gets dark pretty early. But I think that's the one I do. Slow internet's annoying too, though.
Yeah. I that wouldn't work for me, but maybe for you. I do a little more internet shit than you do.
You have to get it done in the daytime. Yeah. I like that one. That's a good one.
All right. I couldn't do webinars. That'd be bad. We make a lot of money on those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just drive everywhere by myself. So
what if it's a direct connect? We'd be fine. Just no Wi-Fi. No on your phone internet. All right. Anyway, moving on. Go ahead.
Would you rather never be able to use your phone again or never be able to use a computer again? Mine's got to be computer.
Yeah, mine too. I think everything's kind of moving. More and more things keep moving towards the phone anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, computers might be obsolete here in 10 years anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say a phone is a computer. So I'm going to say never be able
especially
to use a computer
Apple,
again.
You know, they don't know what they're doing over there.
No.
Tyler's a big Apple guy. I think, Tyler, I'm going to let you get me a MacBook early next year.
At least try it, right?
I mean, it's not something you just try. It's like $2,000 or $3,000, but yeah.
Oh, boy. You better go all in.
What?
You can sell it off market.
I can.
Yeah.
Drugs. All right, Lucas, motivation.
Yeah, what
pump
you got?
Them up. Inspirational quote here. I like this. Just give us a little direction. It starts with not having a hangover with the way things used to be.
Tell me what that means to you.
It starts with not having a hangover with the way things used to be. CEO of Under Armour said that.
What does that mean, you think, to you? Because I have a couple thoughts, but I'm not exactly sure.
Starts. I'm this first time I'm reading. Have you read this before?
No.
Okay.
That's the first time hearing it. I would say like having a hangover, like a couple things. Just not looking in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Always be looking, being in the present and looking in the future. And then also just not being stuck in your ways and doing things now because that's the way you've always used to do them.
That's what I look at it more as. It's not like having the residual effects of the things that you used to do. Like a hangover is a residual effect of drinking. So not having the residual effects of how you used to do things. Like, of course, if you do things a certain way, how you've always done them, then you're going to have the same results from that. And we mm-hmm. say this a lot, but it's still super powerful. Like if you want different things, you're going to have to do different things.
Yeah.
Like if you want to get to a place that's differently, you're going to have to walk a different path. You can't walk down the same path every single day and get to a different place.
For sure. So. Yeah. I think on the same lines of the first thing you said there is success is not guaranteed, and it's not something that
I didn't say that.
Well, I know, along the same lines. Success is not guaranteed, and it's not something where you get to, you're always there. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of goes along the lines with that one quote, success is earned every single day. Mm-hmm. Or same thing with greatness, whatever it is. But, you know, you got to keep striving for that, and you can't rest on your laurels of what you've done in the past.
Yeah, for sure. There's a and just this is a little bit of a hook, but not really, because I did a short form video on this. But Kobe's talking about just like the putting in the work and the getting the results. And it's pretty motivational video that somebody's talking about. Like, I used to think Kobe was a ball hog. Then I heard him talk. He's like, I see when you show up to practice. I see when you leave. I see the effort you put into practice. I'm not giving you the ball. You didn't put in the work. He's like, I work twice as hard as you, so I'm going to take the shot. I see the work that you put
in. Obviously not a great way to look at it, but it's funny to hear him say that, because he's probably fucking lived by that.
And it's worked for him, obviously.
You're not getting up the shots. You ain't taking the last shot.
Yeah, if you didn't put in the work, I put in the work. I know I did, so I'm going to put it up. I see you going out drinking or whatever.
Yep.
It's all about focus, but cool. Well, that was a fun one. I like that. Was our first kind of stab at the segments. If you wouldn't mind throwing a rating and a comment if you liked it, or if you're watching on YouTube, throw us a comment if you like. I think we're gonna keep going down this path and be able to break these out into different ones. So that was fun, Walls.
That was fun.
0-3.
That was bad.
You loser.
Give me some easy ones next week, T York.
Chill, next one. Get paid $25 million a year. But anyway, so he has in the past 15 games, he's been ejected 3 times.
Yeah.
So every third game he gets ejected, or every fifth game he gets ejected for punching, kicking, stomping on somebody.
Yeah, and I saw the most recent one.
So this is a life segment, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, life. So I saw the most recent one with the Suns game, Nurkic. Big guy. Yeah. Obviously, they're all pretty big in the NBA. But,
big gents, yep.
But, yeah, he just kind of, like, turned around and wailed on him. And I saw him on the bench trying to, like, defend himself.
It was an accident.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? He's, like, trying to recreate it. He's like, I was just doing this. I'm like, bro, stop it. Like, this is, like, you can't get away with that anymore. Like, if it was your first time ever, maybe we'd be like, okay, I can see that. But this keeps happening again and again and again. And when, to me, it's when, like, Coach Kerr is a fantastic coach, right? So he's always done a great job of standing up for his players. But he said it the other day. He's like at some point in time, he's like you have this guy. He's like, what do you say? He punched Jordan Poole in the face in practice last year.
He jumped. He was like a jump punch.
Yeah,
he was like
the sucker punch.
Yep.
He put Rudy Gobert in a headlock on the court, and then he pretty much punched Nurkic recently. He's like, and Steve Kerr is like, the problem is the person. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's nothing else. He's like, it's Draymond. Steve Kerr is finally starting to realize that and be more vocal about it. So I think coming from him, hopefully, it's gonna set him on the right path, because is it an indefinite suspension at the moment?
Yep.
Yeah, good. He needs to freaking chill out and relax and think about how he wants to perform this next part of his career, because he doesn't have a lot of time left.
No.
So he needs to chill.
Yeah, he needs to chill a lot, because I saw a highlight reel of all of the things he's done. He's kicked people in the nuts intentionally several times.
Yeah.
He stomped on Zabonis last year in the playoffs, literally stomped on his chest. And like the Gobert thing, he claims he's defending, like, are you that immature? He's defending Thompson. And like Gobert was just like, almost being like a
mediator,
and you could get in front of him and like try to stop him from touching Thompson, but he choked him out from behind for like 30 seconds. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I think he's overstepped it a little bit, and I get he's an emotional guy, and that's been his secret sauce. He's always kind of been that way, and he's always been defended by his teammates. But this one's a little bit different, and I heard an interesting take from. Not my favorite person, but he's fine. Stephen A. He was like, he made a good point here. He was like, Steph Curry is like the best example of like incredible leader, like great, great dude. And we hold them to a high standard, but we're not LeBron standard. He's like, this was one of LeBron teammates. We'd be like, LeBron, go fix this. But nobody's saying Steph, go fix this.
Yeah, I love Steph.
It's
too.
Interesting,
I think he's a great
though, right? Because Steph is a great leader too. I feel like
I wouldn't put him in the great leader category personally. I love Steph. He leads great by example, but he's not like super vocal or anything.
I think Draymond listened to him.
Yeah, I do too. So to say that Steph needs to say something, absolutely.
That's what the point is.
No,
yeah, Steph
no
needs
doubt.
To say something now.
Yeah,
because. But if this was one of LeBron's teammates, we'd be like, LeBron, go fix this. But LeBron, everybody has his thoughts about him, but everybody says he's an incredible leader.
Yeah, well, I think Yeah, I think they will talk for sure. They'll have some type of talk.
An interesting insight on this I just heard last night. So who do I listen to all the time?
Colin.
Colin Cowherd, and he has a podcast company called The Volume. And he has Draymond Green is on his mm-hmm. he's an employee of Cowherd for his podcast, that you know, Draymond's podcast, that's under Colin Cowherd's podcast network.
So he's
an employee for Colin, and I think it's the best podcast for The Volume. Like mm-hmm. it's the top performing one because Draymond is very articulate when he talks. Yeah. He's intelligent.
Just and he has hot takes.
Just because he's doing these things doesn't mean it makes him look unintelligent, but he's not. He's extremely intelligent and thoughtful person. Yeah.
Get like live reaction, which I love.
And did you know that was under Cowherd's thing or not?
I didn't.
Under Cowherd's thing. So they know each other a little bit, and the podcast hasn't been going on because they've been negotiating the next contract. Mm-hmm. And the other night, two nights ago, Colin's like the people that like his partners in that company were at Draymond's house when the commissioner called to tell him he's suspended indefinitely. So mm-hmm. he had like an insight to like Draymond. His people are there while Draymond's being told mm-hmm. that he's indefinitely suspended.
So are they not going to like renew the contract?
No, it was renewed right before that, which is good. I mean, part of it is the thought a little bit like that's like cathartic for Draymond to talk and like have but he hasn't been doing that because they've been in negotiation. So anyways, a little inside story. And apparently he was very remorseful at the time. And he's for the first time was saying like, maybe I do need to fix myself. Good. So hopefully
I could see that happening now. And I like Draymond.
He's not a bad guy, obviously.
And as a competitor, it's amazing. He just takes it a little too far sometimes.
Yeah. And he's not obviously a bad guy. So that's why, he's hopefully this will help.
Yeah.
I mean, people do people can change and have like at least redirected a little bit.
For sure.
Cool. All right.
Got your boy Jock coming back here some point soon. So that'd be interesting to talk about.
Yeah. Get Jock back here soon. Yeah. I have more confidence in Draymond turnaround than Ja, but that's just me.
No, that'd be a great segment.
I would love for Ja to turn around.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll talk about that a little bit. So I think the life segment's going to – I think it's probably going to be about like parenting and sports.
Those are two really good things.
That's kind of our life.
Real
estate, business, finance, parenting, and sports.
Deal.
That's our life.
Love
all right.
That.
Okay. So Riddle, this might be my favorite segment of the whole episode because Lucas is going to get riddled.
I hope something clicks here.
All right. So this is where I try to stump Lucas with riddles, and I'm going to stump him. He usually – so I for the – you know, we don't really – we're trying to get new listeners, so please share this with your friends if you were laughed or entertained at all. But if you listened, you probably listened before. You know Lucas gets one right, he gets one wrong, and one he kind of gets right. So he gets 50% on a three-answer topic. So he's going to go 0 for 3. So Lucas, what bird do you associate with lifting weight?
I don't know this one. I feel like I'm going to kick myself when I hear the answer.
You won't. It's tough.
So I was going to like guess a bird, like the bald eagle or something, looking jacked as the symbol of America. But I'm just going to say no bird. I don't associate a
bird you associate with lifting weight is a crane. Get it? It's a bird and a crane. It's true. These are all true.
I was thinking like, is there a bird named after a barbell or a dumbbell or like?
He's very like if he tried to riddle me, my answers would be so like we used to. I think so. There's a reason why we riddle you
because
you're much
a crane.
More thoughtful.
Damn, that's right.
All right. So what number two? What is it that given one? You'll either. Hold on, I can't even say it.
It's so hard you can't even say.
What is it that given one, you'll have either two or none? If you're given this, you'll have either two or none.
I'm given this, either two or none.
This one's tough.
If I'm given this, I'll have either two or. Wow. I don't know, man.
A choice.
So. How do you have either two or none then? Tell me about that.
If you have a choice, you either have I don't give it either. You have two options, I guess, choice. So you either I don't get that one either. Oh, for two. Moving on.
I suck.
Nobody has ever walked this way. Which way is this?
Walk this way. Was that Aerosmith or something?
I think so, yeah. You sound just like him too.
I do sound like Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the ladies tell me.
Yes. Yes. He's got. Okay. All right. Nobody has ever walked this way. Which way is it?
Which way is it?
For three.
I don't. Up?
The Milky Way. The first one was the. You had your best shot the first one.
Yeah. The one that makes sense. The other two don't make any fucking sense, Tyler.
All right.
Damn it. I think that's the first time I went over three.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad, boys. I let you down.
You let us down. You let the audience down.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. I'll do better next time.
True or false?
All right, true or false? I'm going to try to stump you this time, but you got at least a 50% chance every time. All right. An 18-inch pizza is more pizza than two 12-inch pizzas.
Yes. So it is interesting with circles, as you know, being an engineer.
Ooh, the old circles.
Like you go out just a little bit, but the fact that it's a 360 degrees going out, the surface area goes up a lot.
What is the A equals, it's like pi r squared?
Something like that. But it expands exponentially as you go out.
Sorry, so do that math.
So then the 12. So I bet it's close. I think I've heard Sperman say true.
It is true.
Yeah. Boom. Yep. Well, I'm going to make you look stupid.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. It's crazy. You got two 12-inch pizzas where you're like, oh, yeah, 24, and then a 118. So that's wild. That's a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good job.
So excited.
Number two of three is vitamin C is also known by the chemical name of ascorbic acid.
There's not a B at the beginning of that, but that's fine.
Ascorbic acid?
Yes.
How do you say that?
I have no idea. I just knew there wasn't a B at the beginning. You said ascorbic.
Yeah, that's not the word.
No.
Ascorbic acid.
I don't know what that is. So I'm going to say false.
It's true.
Tyler.
Vitamin C is a healthy acid.
Okay. I knew it was a healthy acid, but I didn't know what ascorbic means.
Yeah, me neither.
Makes it hard when you don't know what they mean. So is he going to do an all trues? Goodness gracious. All right, what's the next one?
All right. Transylvania. Have you seen Hotel Transylvania?
So I like Adam Sandler, but I hate those movies.
I like them.
I think they're horrible.
I don't think they're horrible. I used to not like them, but after I watched them with Drake a couple more times, I like them a little better.
I think they're like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think give it another chance. They're not bad.
I like kids' movies too, though. That's probably really loud in the mic.
Sorry about that. Thanks. All right. So Transylvania is a historical region located in central Romania.
True.
Woo! Nice.
And he went all three true, so he tried to stump me.
I would think that would be like just a mythical place, but it's a real place.
I think it's a real place that they turn into like mythical.
Gotcha. Well, good job. Two of three. Much better than me.
Yes, you suck.
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to go home and think about what you did? Mm-hmm. You should probably take the afternoon off because you screwed up so bad.
I am going to take the afternoon off.
I know. That's
why
I said that.
Date with my wife.
What are you guys going to do?
We're going to go back and reminisce where we bought our first house and kind of go out in that town and have some lunch and dinner.
Go Schlafly?
We might, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's going to happen after dinner, Lucas?
We're going to go relieve our babysitter before bedtime.
Okay. All right. All right. So would you rather this
not
is
not babysitter. It's my mother who's hanging out with our kids. So shout out to mom. Thank you.
Colleen. All right. Would you rather? This is a little bit harder than usual.
Yeah. We'll both do these, right? So you do the first one.
I'll go first. Would you rather have a face that everyone laughs at or a name that everyone laughs at?
Name for sure.
Yeah.
You can change your name.
What? Yeah.
Or it's just a name. You can go by nickname. Initials,
mm-hmm.
But your face.
That would be tough.
You got to spend some money and go through some pain to change your face.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would say a name that everybody laughs at.
Yes.
You go. You get the next one.
All right. Would you rather always hit a red light for the rest of your life? Gosh, that would be so annoying. So annoying. Or always get slow internet after the sun goes down. So when it's nighttime, gosh,
I would probably rather hit red lights.
I would just
try to take paths that didn't, cause you can do a lot of paths without lights.
I don't know, man.
Like, yeah,
that would be so annoying. You couldn't get anywhere. So like, just, not even when you're driving, if you're in the car in general, like an Uber.
So when you get up before the sun goes up, until the sun goes up, you're just
like, no one would want to ride with you.
You can't do work in the morning.
Like, you would have to ride by yourself. Everybody would be like, don't ride with Sam.
What if I just ride with other people?
No, it would still hit the red light. If you're in the car, it would hit the red light.
You don't know that. Which one would you want?
I don't know. I think the slow internet. This time of year, it's tough because it's like the winter solstice coming up, so it gets dark pretty early. But I think that's the one I do. Slow internet's annoying too, though.
Yeah, I that wouldn't work for me, but maybe for you. I do a little more internet shit than you do.
You have to get it done in the daytime. Yeah. I like that one. That's a good one.
All right. I couldn't do webinars. That'd be bad. We make a lot of money on those.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just drive everywhere by myself. So
what if it's a direct connect? We'd be fine. Just no Wi-Fi. No on your phone internet. All right. Anyway, moving on. Go ahead.
Would you rather never be able to use your phone again or never be able to use a computer again? Mine's got to be computer.
Yeah, mine too. I think everything's kind of moving. More and more things keep moving towards the phone anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, computers might be obsolete here in 10 years anyway. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say a phone is a computer. So I'm going to say never be able
especially
to use a computer
Apple,
again.
You know, they don't know what they're doing over there.
No.
Tyler's a big Apple guy. I think, Tyler, I'm going to let you get me a MacBook early next year.
Just try it, right?
I mean, it's not something you just try. It's like $2,000 or $3,000, but yeah.
Oh, boy. You better go all in.
What?
You can sell it off market.
I can.
Yeah.
Drugs. All right, Lucas, motivation.
Yeah, what
pump
you got?
Them up. Inspirational quote here. I like this. Let's give us a little direction. It starts with not having a hangover with the way things used to be.
Tell me what that means to you.
It starts with not having a hangover with the way things used to be. CEO of Under Armour said that.
What does that mean, you think, to you? Because I have a couple thoughts, but I'm not exactly sure.
I'm this first time I'm reading. Have you read this before?
No.
Okay.
That's the first time hearing it. I would say, like, having a hangover, like, a couple things. Just not looking in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Always be looking, being in the present and looking in the future. And then not hanging. And then also just not being stuck in your ways and doing things that doing things now because that's the way you've always used to do them.
That's what I look at it more as. It's not like having the residual effects of the things that you used to do. Like a hangover is a residual effect of drinking. So not having the residual effects of how you used to do things. Like, of course, if you do things a certain way, how you've always done them, then you're going to have the same results from that. And we mm-hmm. say this a lot, but it's still super powerful. Like if you want different things, you're going to have to do different things.
Yeah.
Like if you want to get to a place that's differently, you're going to have to walk a different path. You can't walk down the same path every single day and get to a different place.
For sure. So. Yeah. I think on the same lines of the first thing you said there is success is not guaranteed, and it's not something that
I didn't say that.
Well, I know.
Okay.
Along the same lines.
Okay.
Success
okay.
is not guaranteed, and it's not something where you get to, you're always there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of goes along the lines with that one quote, success is earned every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Or same thing with greatness, whatever it is. But you know, you got to keep striving for that, and you can't rest on your laurels of what you've done in the past.
Yeah, for sure. There's a and just this is a little bit of a hook, but not really, because I did a short form video on this, but Kobe's talking about just like the putting in the work and the getting the results. And it's pretty motivational video that somebody's talking about. Like, I used to think Kobe was a ball hog. Then I heard him talk. He's like, I see when you show up to practice. I see when you leave. I see the effort you put into practice. I'm not giving you the ball. You didn't put in the work. He's like, I work twice as hard as you, so I'm going to take the shot.
I
see the work that you put
Obviously
in.
Obviously not a great way to look at it, but it's funny to hear him say that because he's probably fucking lived by that.
And it's worked for him, obviously.
You're not getting up the shots. You ain't taking the last shot.
Yeah. If you didn't put in the work, I put in the work. I know I did, so I'm going to put it up. I see you going out drinking or whatever.
Yep.
It's all about focus, but cool. Well, that was a fun one. I liked that. That was our first kind of stab at the segments. If you wouldn't mind throwing a rating and a comment if you liked it, or if you're watching on YouTube, throw us a comment if you like. I think we're going to keep going down this path and be able to break these out into different ones. So that was fun, Walls.
That was fun.
0-3.
That was bad.
You loser.
Give me some easy ones next week, T-York.
See you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.